Welcome to day 237 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. Today we are going to begin reading from the book of Lamentations. This is a small book, 5 chapters in length, written by the prophet Jeremiah, and it will take us 2 days to complete it. We're going to read the first 2 chapters today, and tomorrow we will finish with 3, 4, and 5. But let me give you a little bit of introduction about this book, as there are some very interesting details about how the book was written. First of all, tradition says that the book was written by Jeremiah in a place just outside the wall of Jerusalem, and it was called Jeremiah's Grotto. And this little grotto in the rocks was under a knoll that is now called Golgotha, the same place where we know that Jesus was crucified on the cross, on this hill called Golgotha, or place of the skull. So imagine, here's the weeping prophet Jeremiah weeping over the people of Israel and over the city of Jerusalem, in a place where later our precious Savior would suffer and die for the sins of the whole earth. So that's the first interesting detail about the book of Lamentations, but let me give you a few more. The book itself is essentially composed of 5 poems. In modern day, we have it broken down into 5 chapters, and they are essentially 5 poems. And they are written, or at least the first 4 poems, first 4 chapters, are written in a form of poetry known as an acrostic. And this was a popular Hebrew poetry because it started each verse with the letter from the Hebrew alphabet. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and each of the 22 verses of the first chapter, the second chapter, and the fourth chapter, each one of those verses begins with the corresponding letter of the alphabet. So you could say verse 1 would start with the A, which was the Aleph in the Hebrew alphabet, and then the second verse was the B, or the Beth, in the Hebrew alphabet. So this was a particular method used to help people to memorize poetry. So imagine the book of Lamentations has 4 chapters that are acrostic. Chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 4 are 22 verses long, each starting with one letter of the alphabet. But the third chapter is a triple alphabet. It's 66 verses in length. And the first letter of the alphabet is the first 3 verses. The second letter of the alphabet's the second 3 verses, and on and on. So that one is a triple alphabet or triple acrostic poem, chapter 3. The fifth chapter is not an acrostic at all, but it is poetry in its own right. This book of the Bible is essentially considered to be like a funeral dirge or a lament about the nation of Israel and a lament about the city of Jerusalem and its destruction. So it has been called exactly that, a funeral dirge over the desolation of Jerusalem. The prophet is weeping over the city as he watches it be destroyed, burned to the ground by the Babylonians, and the people taken in captivity off to Babylon. So he is a man, Jeremiah, that had a great sorrow over his own nation, even though the people of that nation treated him terribly. He warned them against defying God's laws, and they rebuked him and rejected him continuously and put him in chains and threw him in a pit and many other things, rejecting his ministry of speaking from the Lord words that would have helped the nation. But they did not receive it from him. But despite all his bad treatment, Jeremiah the prophet had such a heart for God's people and such a heart for the nation that he wept over the city's destruction, the nation's destruction, and the desolation of the people of God known as the Israelites, as they were taken away captive and dispersed among many nations during Jeremiah's lifetime. So the picture is one of a man who loves his country, a man who loves God, weeping over what he has observed. So as we begin reading the first two chapters of Lamentations today, I want to read to you one line that actually comes from the Septuagint version of the Bible. You won't find it here in the version we're reading, but it opens this way, and it sets a stage for the words you're about to hear in Lamentations 1:1. The Septuagint reads, "And it came to pass after Israel had been carried away captive and Jerusalem was become desolate that Jeremiah sat weeping. And he lamented with this lamentation over Jerusalem, and he said." And then we'll begin today, Lamentations 1, verse 1, with that introduction. "How solitary and lonely sits the city, Jerusalem, that was once full of people. How like a widow she has become. She who was great among the nations and princess among the provinces has become a tributary in servitude. She weeps bitterly in the night and her tears are constantly on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, allies, she has no one to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. Judah has gone into exile to escape from the affliction and laborious servitude of the homeland. She dwells among the heathen nations, but she finds no rest. All her persecutors overtook her amid the dire straits of her distress. The roads to Zion mourn because no one comes to the solemn assembly or to the appointed feasts. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh and groan. Her maidens are grieved and vexed, and she herself is in bitterness. Her adversaries have become the head. Her enemies prosper. For the Lord has afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions. Her young children have gone into captivity before the enemy. From the daughter of Zion, all her beauty and majesty have departed. Her princes have become like harts that find no pasture. They have fled without strength before the pursuer. Jerusalem earnestly remembers in the days of her affliction, in the days of her compulsory wanderings and her bitterness, all the pleasant and precious things that she had from the days of old, when her people fell into and at the hands of the adversary, and there was none to help her. The enemy gloated as they looked at her, and they mocked at her desolations and downfall. Jerusalem has grievously sinned. Therefore, she has become an unclean thing and has been removed. All who honored her despise her, because they have seen her nakedness. Yes, she herself groans and sighs and turns her face away. Her filthiness was in and on her skirts. She did not seriously and earnestly consider her final end. Therefore, she has come down from throne to slavery. Singularly and astonishingly, she has no comforter. O Lord, cries Jerusalem, look at my affliction, for the enemy has magnified himself in triumph. The adversary has spread out his hand upon all her precious and desirable things, for she has seen the nations enter her sanctuary of the temple when you commanded that they should not even enter your congregation in the outer courts. All her people groan and sigh, seeking for bread. They have given their desirable and precious things in exchange for food to revive their strength and bring back life. See, O Lord, and consider how wretched and lightly esteemed, how vile and abominable I have become. Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Look and see if there's any sorrow like my sorrow, which was dealt out to me, with which the Lord has afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. From above he has sent fire into my bones, and it prevailed against them. He has spread a net for my feet. He has turned me back. He has made me hopelessly miserable and faint all the day long. The yoke of my transgressions is bound by his hand, and they were twined together. They were set upon my neck. He has made my strength fail and me to stumble. The Lord has delivered me into the hands of those I am unable to resist or withstand. The Lord has made of no account all my Jerusalem's mighty men in the midst of me. He has proclaimed a set time against me to crush my young men. The Lord has trodden, as in a winepress, the virgin daughter of Judah. For these things I weep. My eyes overflow with tears, because a comforter, one who could refresh and restore my soul, is far from me. My children are desolate and perishing, for the enemy has prevailed. Zion stretches forth her hands, but there is no comforter for her. The Lord has commanded concerning and against Jacob, that his neighbors should be his adversaries. Jerusalem has become a filthy thing among them, an object of contempt. The Lord is righteous, just, and in the right, for I have rebelled against his commandment, his word. Hear, I pray you, all you peoples, and look at my sorrow and suffering. My maidens and my young men have gone into captivity. I, Jerusalem, called to my lovers and allies, but they deceived me. My priests and my elders expired in the city while they sought food to save their lives. Behold, O Lord, how distressed I am. My vital parts, emotions, are in tumult and are deeply disturbed. My heart cannot rest and is violently agitated within me, for I have grievously rebelled. Outside the house, the sword bereaves. At home, there is famine, pestilence, death. My foes have heard that I, Jerusalem, sigh and groan, that I have no comforter in you. All my enemies have heard of my trouble. They are glad, O Lord, that you have done it. You will bring the day of Judah's punishment that you have foretold and proclaimed. It involves also my foes' punishment, and they will become like me. Let all their wickedness come before you, and deal with them as you have dealt with me because of all my transgressions. For my sighs and groans are many, and my heart is faint. Chapter 2. How the Lord has covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud in his anger. He has cast down from heaven to the earth the beauty and splendor of Israel, and has not earnestly remembered his footstool in the day of his anger. The Lord has swallowed up all the country places and habitations of Jacob, and has spared not nor pitied. He has demolished in his wrath the strongholds of the daughter of Judah. He has cast down to the ground the kingdom and its rulers, polluting them and depriving them of their sanctity. He has broken off in his fierce anger every horn, means of defense, of Israel. He has drawn back his right hand from before the enemy, and he has burned amidst Jacob like a flaming fire consuming all around. He has bent his bow like an enemy. He has stood with his right hand set like a foe, and has slain all the delights and pride of the eye. On and in the tent of the daughter of Zion, he has poured out his wrath like fire. The Lord has become like an enemy. He has destroyed Israel. He has destroyed all its palaces, has laid in ruins its strongholds, and has multiplied in the daughter of Judah groaning and moaning and lamentation. And he has violently broken down his temple like a booth or hedge of a garden. He has destroyed the place of his appointed assembly. The Lord has caused the solemn appointed feasts and Sabbaths to be forgotten in Zion, and has spurned and rejected in the indignation of his anger the king and the priest. The Lord has scorned, rejected, and cast off his altar. He has abhorred and disowned his sanctuary. He has given into the hand of the enemy the walls of her palaces and high buildings. They have raised a clamor in the house of the Lord, as on a day of a solemn appointed feast. The Lord purposed to lay in ruins the city wall of the daughter of Zion. He marked it off by measuring line. He restrained not his hand from destroying. He made rampart and wall lament. They languished together. Her gates have sunk into the ground. He has destroyed and broken her bars. Her king and her princes are exiled among the nations. The law is no more. Her prophets also obtain no vision from the Lord. The elders of the daughter of Zion sit on the ground keeping silent. They have cast dust on their heads. They have girded themselves with sackcloth. The maidens of Jerusalem have bowed their heads to the ground, says Jeremiah. My eyes fail from weeping. My emotions are deeply disturbed. My heart is poured out upon the ground in grief because of the destruction of the daughter of my people, because infants and nurslings faint in the streets of the city. They keep crying to their mothers, "Where is corn and wine, food and drink?" As they faint like wounded men in the streets of the city, as their lives ebb away on their mother's bosom. What example of suffering in the past is sufficient for me to remind you for your comfort? To what shall I liken you, O daughter of Jerusalem? With what shall I compare you, that I may comfort you, O virgin daughter of Zion? For your ruin is as measureless as the sea. Who can heal you? Your prophets have predicted for you falsehood and delusion and foolish things, and they have not exposed your iniquity and guilt to avert your captivity by causing you to repent. But they have divided and declared to you false and deceptive prophecies, worthless and misleading. All who pass by clap their hands at you. They hiss and wag their heads at the daughter of Jerusalem, saying, "Is this the city which was called the perfection of beauty, the joy of all the earth?" All your enemies have opened wide their mouths against you. They scornfully hiss and gnash their teeth. They cry, "We have swallowed her up. Certainly this is the day we have looked for. We have it. We see it." The Lord has done what he planned. He has carried out and finished his word, which he threatened and decreed in the days of old. He has demolished without pity. He has made the enemy rejoice over you and has exalted the might of your foes. The hearts of the inhabitants of Jerusalem cried to the Lord. Then to the congregation, I, Jeremiah, cried, addressing the wall as its symbol, "O wall of the daughter of Zion, let tears run down like a river, day and night. Give yourself no rest. Let not your eyes stop shedding tears. Arise from your bed. Cry out in the night. At the beginning of the watches, pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up your hands toward him for the lives of your young children who faint from hunger at the head of every street. Behold, O Lord, and consider carefully to whom you have done this. Should and shall women eat the fruit of their own bodies, the children whom they've tended and swaddled with their hands? Should and shall priest and prophet be slain in the place set apart for the worship of the Lord? The young and the old lie on the ground in the streets. My maidens and my young men have fallen by the sword. You have slain them in the day of your anger, slaughtering them without pity. You, Lord, called together as on an appointed feast day of solemn assembly, my terrors, dangers from every side, and there was not one in the day of God's wrath who escaped or survived. Those I have nursed and brought up, my enemy has destroyed. This is the end of today's scripture reading. One of the most profound things that we hear in the book of Lamentations is the heart of the prophet and how he relates to what's happening in his nation and how he has such compassion on the disaster that's taking place. It is in no way focused on his own pain or his own experience or what it's doing to him, which so many people, when they're going through a national crisis in a country, people are often just focused on how it's affecting them personally. But Jeremiah the prophet was quite different. He saw and felt and experienced emotionally the pain of a whole nation. And that's what's expressed here in the book of Lamentations. As you heard, as we read through, first of all, he starts out by having compassion and speaking from the third person, saying how solitary and how lonely sits the city of Jerusalem that was once full of people, how like a widow she's become. She was great among the nations, has become like a slave. And so we see him talking in the third person about Jerusalem and about Judah. And then he goes on to say how Judah's gone into exile. She finds no rest. All her beauty has departed. In verse 8, we find out that he pretty much states the case that this has all happened because of the sin of the people. Jerusalem has grievously sinned. Therefore, she's become an unclean thing and has been removed. So he squarely lays the causation of all this desolation on the people themselves. But then he goes on in his lament and takes on the personhood, so to speak, of Jerusalem and of Judah. And in Middle Eastern literature, oftentimes they would utilize the female person as and personify a city or a nation as a female. The king would be like the husband of that female, and then the citizens would be like the princes of that land. So calling Jerusalem a widow, and then the citizens of that city and that country being like the children or the princes of that land. So you see Jeremiah transition in this poem and go into the first person, and he starts talking about it as if he was Jerusalem himself. He says, "The Lord has made of no account all my mighty men, all my Jerusalems. He's proclaimed against a set time against me to crush my young men." So he's taking on or personifying the city or the nation as if it was him himself. And so you can see he has this amazing compassion for all the suffering and all the horrid things that were being experienced in that land. He even speaks about the horror of how the famine had gotten so bad that they resorted to cannibalism, where he talks about that very briefly, makes a mention of that and how awful all of that was, and the sorrow of watching children crying to their mother for food and getting nothing. So you see his heart and his sorrow and weeping over the destruction of the people and the destruction of the cities. He says, "Infants and nurslings faint in the streets of the city. They keep crying to their mothers, 'Where is food and drink?' They faint like wounded men. Their lives ebb away." He is speaking of just the horrors of what has befallen Judah and Jerusalem. And I want to close our devotional today by bringing your attention to something very profound that Jeremiah does here in chapter 2, and it's from verses 18 and 19. I'll read them first and then make a few comments. He says, "The hearts of the inhabitants of Jerusalem cried to the Lord. Then to the congregation, I, Jeremiah, cried, addressing the wall as its symbol. O wall of the daughter of Zion, let tears run down like a river day and night. Give yourself no rest. Let not your eyes stop shedding tears. Arise from your bed. Cry out in the night at the beginning of the watches. Pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up your hands toward Him for the lives of your young children who faint from hunger at the head of every street. And then he goes on to talk about how it got to the point that it was so bad that there was cannibalism and onward, and how the deaths of young and old lying in the street was such a horror. But I want to bring to your attention that the prophet exhorted the people to not stop crying out to the Lord for the young ones. Lift up your hands toward Him, toward God, for the lives of your young children who faint from hunger at the head of every street. Let tears run down like a river day and night. Give yourself no rest. Arise from your bed and cry out in the night at the beginning of the watches. Every 3 hours was a watch where the watchman in the night would have this watch in the night and that morning watch. And he is exhorting them, have compassion on the children. Have compassion on what is happening to them. You know, we live in a day when many people are so self-centered that all they think about is their own lives, their own comfort, their own needs, what they want. They never think about shedding tears for their nation, for what's happening in the nation, for what's happening to the children in the land. You know, we live in a time when murder or homicide is the second leading cause of death among children between the ages of 5 and 18. And a lot of these take place on school campuses. We live in a day when we have seen so many mass murders on school campuses in the United States that it seems like we are in a nightmare. And you know what? In a sense, we are, but it isn't a dream, it's a reality. We live in a day when there is so much violence happening to children, wicked violence, not just gang violence where a random stray bullet kills a child. That happens every single day in some of the big cities in the nation. Not only that type of violence, but other wicked abuse that I don't even want to mention. Wickedness being perpetrated against children. Do we even have the heart that Jeremiah the prophet had and the heart that he exhorted the people of Jerusalem to have when he said, cry out in the night, arise from your bed, pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord and lift up your hands toward God for the lives of your young children? Do we have even that heart to pray? You know, I think a lot of times we've heard so many news reports of violence and murder and homicides and abuse and attacks of all sorts against children and young women that we've become almost dazed by it, or so sick of hearing it that we turn off the TV or turn off the radio or move to the next news article on the internet because we don't even want to read it anymore. But has it caused us to become people that will pour out their hearts like water, praying and crying out to the Lord for the lives of the young children in our nation? We need to be moved like Jeremiah was moved, where he wept over the state of the kids, the children, the young people, the lives of the young children that were being destroyed there in Jerusalem in his day and today in our nation and in nations around the world. Do we become intercessors like Jeremiah was? Have you ever wept and cried after you've read an article in the newspaper or heard one on the radio or television where there's been such perpetration of wickedness against children that it caused you to weep and cry out for our nation? I want to encourage you. We need to become the people like Jeremiah who will cry out to the Lord for this to stop, for revival to come to our nation. You know, that's what Jeremiah was crying out for. He cried out to the people to allow themselves to be touched by God, to turn their hearts toward the Lord so that the nation would not be destroyed. That's what he was doing. His whole ministry was a ministry of crying out to the people to turn, to listen to God so that the nation would not be destroyed. We live in a day when there is so much sin and wickedness in the United States and around the world, but I live in the U.S., and so I am very concerned about what I see spiritually in this nation and the wickedness and the violence levels in our country and how people have just closed themselves off and just take care of their own business and make sure they have enough to eat and drink and be merry and don't concern themselves about praying for our nation's spiritual condition or for the condition of children who are being raised in such atmospheres where they fall easily into drugs, easily into alcohol abuse, easily into sexual immorality, easily taken away captive by wickedness because there's no one praying for them. And I want to encourage you to become an intercessor like Jeremiah, where you're willing to get out of your bed and pray and cry out to the Lord and let your heart be poured out like water before the face of the Lord, as it says in Lamentations 2:19, and lift up your hands toward the Lord for the lives of the young children who are fainting from hunger at the head of every street. Hunger for God, hunger for love, hunger for what's real. We need to be in prayer for the young people in our nation and the children around the world and be an intercessor like Jeremiah was and not be just so consumed with our own needs that we don't pray for anybody else. We need to pray for our nation, and I want to exhort you to do that. Think about this week, and as you hear news reports of different things, violence in our land, I want you to pray for our nation, pray for the leaders of the nation, pray that God will raise up a spirit of revival across our country so that we won't be destroyed like Jerusalem and Judah was because they refused to listen to the voice of God. God bless you and give you a victorious week.